Good morning. This is Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm your host, Yasmin Khan, a reporter here at KUNM. Hundreds of New Mexicans say their utility bill costs have spiked recently, especially after the ice storms earlier this month. On today's Let's Talk New Mexico, we'll be discussing current and upcoming changes in gas and electric rates and how utility companies and consumer advocates plan to help New Mexicans deal with these additional costs during the pandemic and beyond. And we want to hear from you. Do you have questions about an abnormally high gas or electric bill? Are you worried about how you'll pay your bills or if your utilities will be shut off this winter? Do you need advice on how to report your high bills and get financial help from the state or the utility companies? Join the conversation. Email us at letstalk@kunm.org or call in at 277-5866. I want to welcome Representative Christina Ortez to the line. Christina, thank you for joining us. You are sponsor of House Bill 206. But before we discuss House Bill 206 that you sponsored, I want to relay a story from a listener. One ratepayer who contacted us, Erenia, who lives in the Victory Hills area of Albuquerque, said her bill spiked from $30 in November to $467 in January. She says this was an actual meter read, and she considers this price gouging. And she says her household is very careful with their energy use and has not been able to get an answer from PNM. Representative, can you tell us what House Bill 206 is and how it could help people like Erenia?
Thank you, Yasmin. House Bill 206 is a comprehensive bill that really focuses on the now of customers, households all over the state that that are experiencing hardship during the time of COVID. We've heard a lot of stories like Erenia's all across the state. Something like 57,000 families would have been disconnected from electricity services, if not for the moratorium in place by the PRC, which we're really grateful for. But what's happening is that families are incurring debt in the midst of this public health crisis because they don't have jobs and can't afford to pay their bills. You know, the bill deals with that and provides families the opportunity to pay back some of that debt with a little bit of dignity. So there's a payment plan and a debt forgiveness plan. But it also sets into motion the opportunity for lower income New Mexicans to pay less for utilities by investing in energy efficiency in their homes and by allowing, not forcing, I want to be really clear here, by allowing the PRC to consider a low income rate. And we hope that, you know, so many folks, tens of thousands of families have suffered because of COVID and the lack of jobs and unemployment or partial employment. And we want to help folks get back on their feet. It's good for our families and it's really good for our local economies as well.
And so this bill has long term and short term help for people during the pandemic and beyond.
Exactly. Thank you for that. That was a shorter answer.
So can you tell me a little bit about the lower rate for lower income households and what that would look like?
So this is what we know is that, you know, the utilities and the PRC already records, you know, the collects data, records data, and that is already happening. But this legislation has reporting requirements so that we understand who is being connected, how many families are being disconnected, all across the state, how many reconnections, and, you know, how many families, households in New Mexico don't have services, what they have, if they're underserviced. And so those reporting requirements, that data is what will allow the PRC to make a determination. There are 20 states across the nation that have a low income rate. Arizona, Utah, Colorado, you know, all Minnesota, all around the country, utilities are able to provide low income rates. But we don't have that. And I want to be clear here that the legislature enables the legislation for the PRC to consider that. But you need to have good data right? You can't make a plan without having all the information. And so what this legislation does is it allows the PRC to get that data from the utilities and make a plan to help all New Mexicans.
Great. Thank you, Representative. And I want to welcome Tom Dome, Vice President for External Affairs and General Counsel for New Mexico Gas, and Nicole Valdivia from the Customer Service Department of New Mexico Gas. Welcome to the show, Tom.
Good morning.
Welcome, Nicole. Most listeners will know about the deadly natural gas crisis that hit Texas in February, but New Mexico was also impacted by the storm. And some New Mexico gas ratepayers have reported seeing their bills increase this cycle, and others in southern New Mexico experienced some gas outages. First, can you tell us how New Mexico gas was affected by the ice storms and what that means for New Mexicans? And then I also want to ask, how will House Bill 206 impact New Mexico gas?
Sure. So when the cold weather came to Texas and spilled over into Mexico in the middle of February, New Mexico Gas Company, the number one thing that we wanted to do was to lose no customers. In other words, have no customers lose their natural gas. And so that was our number one mission, and we set out to make sure that we had enough natural gas for everyone. And so I don't know what reports you're getting, but we did not lose any customers from natural gas service in February of this year. We kept all of our customers on with natural gas. That was our number one objective. Then number two, what we did was we're lucky because we sit between the Permian Basin, which is down in southeastern New Mexico and Texas, and the San Juan Basin, which is up in the northwestern part of the state. So we can draw gas off of both of those. What we immediately began to do is we began to shift our gas supply from the Permian Basin to the San Juan Basin. And because we did that, we were able to ensure gas to all of our customers. But when Texas had its brownouts and Texas had its problems, it affected the prices of natural gas throughout the region, actually probably throughout the entire country. So the biggest impact on New Mexico Gas Company and New Mexico Gas Company customers was the price that we had to pay for natural gas. We don't yet know the full extent of that. We haven't gotten all the invoices for what we paid for, but it's roughly, we paid about, in that week, we paid about what we pay annually for natural gas. So the prices were dramatically up. They went up exponentially. And so we paid for that natural gas.
Would you mind explaining the numbers of the rate change? I heard some numbers. I don't want to say numbers that aren't true, but I heard it went up like 200%.
Well, it went up more than that. It went up what we paid. We paid, let's say, $2.50 for an MMBTU, which is a way to measure the cost of gas. We paid $2.50 or $2.60 or $2.70 the day before the storm. In the middle of the storm, the price of gas was in the range of $150 or $200 or $250 for an MMBTU.
Wow.
So it was much more than double. It was much more than 10 times. It was significant. It was exponentially greater. So we paid that price for gas. Everybody paid that price for gas. That was the going price for gas during that week. What happens now is, and the way the cost of the gas works in the gas utility business is, we pass the cost of gas through to our customers without markup. We don't make any profit on the cost. The commodity just gets passed through to customers, straight through to customers. Now, for the last 10 years, the price of gas has been dropping significantly. And so, I think our average customer knows that the cost of gas has been way down over the last 10 years. That's not true for that week. And so what we have to do is we now have to work with the PRC to pass the cost of that gas for that week through to the customers, and we will work with the PRC to do that with the minimal impact upon customers that we can. But that's how that operates. The cost of gas passes through, and through no fault of New Mexico Gas Company, the cost of gas went through the roof for that week.
Okay. And we're in a few minutes, we're going to talk to somebody from the PRC so they can explain to us what the PRC does. But I do want to follow up and ask, how would House Bill 206 impact New Mexico gas, and what would it mean for your ratepayers?
Well, that's a great question. And 206 doesn't really impact as a result of that cold weather event. 206 is directed at a COVID relief measure. And we have worked with Representative Ortiz and the other sponsors of that bill. The gas company has been working with them to try to assist in that bill. We do not oppose that bill. We have worked with them on that bill. What 206 does is, and I actually wasn't on the line. My connection was not good, so I didn't listen to Representative Ortiz describe it. But as I understand that bill, and I hope I get this right, Representative Ortiz, there's three parts to that bill. First is a COVID relief portion. Second is an energy efficiency portion. And third is low-income rates. The part that affects the rates for New Mexico Gas Company customers is the first part, really, in the short run. Now, the low-income rates, we can talk about that later. That will affect us later on. But on the COVID relief portion, there is a provision in that bill for a forgiveness program for low-income New Mexicans. And so if that passes, then the New Mexico Gas Company would participate in that forgiveness program. And then at some point in time in the future, whatever that amount of forgiveness is, that would have to be brought back in through rates someday in the future. And those rates would be spread out among all New Mexico Gas Company customers. So right now, the forgiveness would be applicable. And then in the future, that forgiveness would have to be brought back into rates of all customers. That would be the impact upon New Mexico Gas Company customers. And I think that's well understood.
And Representative Ortiz, do you want to respond to this?
Thank you. Tom is right. It would ultimately, we would all share the burden in this extraordinary time to help our poorest, most vulnerable neighbors. And there's also an important part of this bill, which is that the legislation directs the utilities to take advantage of the federal funds, the considerable federal funds that are coming our way to relieve some of that debt. We've already gotten $5.3 million coming in. There's another $200 million. Actually, it's more like $131 million now at MSA, DSA, that would help renters with their rent and with their utilities. We see more money coming from the federal government to support the most vulnerable. And so this legislation directs the utilities to use that federal funding coming in first to help with that forgiveness. And at the last resort, at the end of the day, we would have to spread some of that burden among all ratepayers, which, it's just, that's where we are. And but we've never been in this situation before.
Yeah. There's so many situations we haven't been in before that we're in now. Thank you, Representative. And so we have about a minute left before we go to break, but Tom, according to the Albuquerque Journal, New Mexico Gas asked for more than $21 million in rate increases in 2018 and 2019. Was there a rate hike in 2020 during the pandemic?
Well, so yes, we asked for a rate increase. We came in for a rate increase in 2019, and it typically it takes about 13 months for a rate increase to be approved by the PRC. So that was approved. And we asked for $20 million. We didn't get $20 million. The last rate increase we got was about $4.5 million. The impact was about 53 cents on the average customer's bill. That rate increase did go into effect in January 1st of this year. So we filed in 19. It went into effect in January of 20. We filed that rate case before the pandemic hit. Well, it was... We filed in December of 19, and the pandemic wasn't even here yet. So the rate went into effect in January of this year. Yes.
Okay. We're going to have to go to a break, but we'll come back to this. If you want to join the conversation about utility bills in New Mexico, give us a call at 277-5866. You can also tweet to us with the hashtag #LetsTalkNM. This is Let's Talk New Mexico. We'll be back in a minute.
Support comes from Mountain Mahogany Community School, a public K-8 charter school accepting lottery applications through March 12th. Mountain Mahogany, where students grow, thrive, and learn. More information at mountainmahogany.org.
Today's day sponsor is Jill Clyburn of Santa Fe, wishing a happy birthday and great new adventures to Greg Clyburn from Jill and Cora.
She's one of the most revered pianists of our time, and Marta Argerich is notorious for canceling concerts at the last moment, depending on how she's feeling. Well, she was thrilled to take part in a live broadcast this past New Year's Eve, and we've got it for you. I'm Fred Child. Join me for the next Performance Today from APM.
Weekday mornings at 9 on KUNM.
Welcome back to Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm your host, Yasmin Khan. This morning, we're talking about the widespread and sudden rise in utility bills and what this means for New Mexicans. Have rising utility costs affected your household? Are you worried about how you're going to pay your utility bills or about having your gas or electricity shut off? Give us a call at 277-5866 or email at letstalk@kunm.org. And I do want to mention, although PNM was invited and we had them scheduled to be on the show, they declined yesterday. However, some of the most shocking utility bill rates were for electric bills, and many say their bills spiked before February. In an earlier interview with PNM, they did say that they did not have more calls about utility bills than usual and suggested that the rising costs could be linked to holiday lights or people working from home. So although we don't have PNM with us, if you do have questions about your PNM bills or what help you can get, you can still call in and ask some questions on air, and we will try to help out as much as we can. And we have Mariel Nanansi on the line. She is executive director of the New Energy Economy in Santa Fe. Her organization advocates for fossil fuel and nuclear free economies. Welcome to the show, Mariel.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Good morning. Mariel, first, I'd like to give you a chance to respond to Tom or Representative Ortiz and maybe to comment on if your organization supports House Bill 206.
We'll start with that. Thank you for having me on. And yes, New Energy Economy does support House Bill 206. There is a crisis going on, and it's a multiple crisis. It's a crisis of poverty, and it's a crisis of environment and climate, and those are connected. I don't know if your listeners heard, but some of the gas suppliers in Texas, in particular, were involved in price gouging, and literally were singing the praises to their investor-owned gas companies and saying, hey, we hit the jackpot. So while people were freezing and dying, literally, and saw the eradication of their savings, some people said that they literally, their bank accounts went to zero because they were on automatic billing. These executives were touting this as a jackpot. And the taking advantage of fellow, at that point for them, fellow Texans, it's really a remarkable thing that we're seeing in today's world, where corporations are, unfairly and rather, with some kind of like, to be perfectly honest, like evilness, taking advantage of people. And, I understand that some of the utilities here in New Mexico, were just had to accept some of those prices. And then they are planning to pass that on to customers. But I think that there is a state and a federal investigation against some of those gas suppliers for that price gouging, for taking advantage of vulnerable people in the midst of an emergency. And that should be, frankly, just illegal. So I wanted to say that. I think that the situation with low-income families and energy burden in our state is extreme. Some people pay somewhere between 20 and 50% of their monthly income on energy. And this is a problem. 83% of people, there's 20% of people who live below the federal income the federal poverty level. 83% of those are people of color. And, you know, I don't know what the numbers are for the gas company, but I do know the numbers for PNM. And on average, PNM is disconnecting about 20,000 people every single year and sending disconnect notices, about 350,000 disconnect notices every year. And to me, that's like, you know, that's violence that's in your mailbox, right? They're saying, hey, we're threatening to cut you off of your electricity because you can't pay. And so people are making these difficult choices of food for their children, for medical assistance, or whatever else. And just so that they can literally keep the lights on, which I think is a crisis and needs to be addressed. And we can, I have some ideas about solutions for that. But what I want to tell you is right now, and I want to, you know, give kudos. I know that the PRC, the Public Regulation Commission, has been beaten up a lot in the last couple of years. And what I want to say is that they appropriately responded to many faith, climate, environmental, and economic justice, mutual aid groups who gave testimony and asked for there to be this utility moratorium, the utility shutoff moratorium. And we won. And they and the PRC really responded. And we do join 19 other states across the country who have that. And we're actually part of a national network to try to have that be into a federal bill.
Okay. Thank you, Mario. Tom, I want to give you a chance to respond briefly, and then I want to move on to talk a little bit about how ratepayers can get help.
Yeah, very briefly. I know Mariel knows this, and she was not speaking about us. Just to be clear, New Mexico Gas Company does not produce gas. We do not supply gas. We are not a producer. We're not a supplier. We are a utility. We buy gas. And so when she's talking about people that were taking it, you know, arguably taking advantage to raise their prices, she's not talking about us. That we don't do that. We don't supply. We don't produce. We are just a utility. And then the second thing I'd like to point out is that we supported the PRC's efforts on the moratorium on normal billing practices. We are not in the business of disconnecting customers. We are in the business of supplying gas to customers. And when the PRC in March of 20 passed their moratorium on those normal billing patterns, we supported that. We supported it every time it was extended. We know that the state is in a crisis, and we are working with our customers, and we're working with the PRC to ensure that our customers are taken care of. So, I just wanted to be clear on that as well.
Thank you. Thank you, Tom. And so right now, I believe both PNM and New Mexico Gas and maybe some other utility companies have a moratorium shutting off utilities during the pandemic, which means they cannot shut off utilities if people don't have money to pay their bills. Tom, is that still in place?
Yes, it is. And John can speak to this better than I can. But yes, the moratorium is in place, and it has been extended by the PRC until May 17th of this year, at which time the moratorium itself is lifted on normal billing practices, which include disconnections, that's true. And then there's a 90-day, and I'm talking about utilities like us, not the co-ops, they're on a different schedule. And then there's a 90-day transition period into August where the utilities will work with the customers to try to bring their bills current, work on payment plans, communicate with them, and we're already engaged in enacting all of our policies and procedures to comply with the PRC's request that we do that. We are willingly going to do that. And so the moratorium will officially be lifted after the transition period in August of this year.
And do you have an estimate on how many people are currently behind on their bills? And how many people would be at risk of shutoff if there were not a moratorium?
Yeah, I have an estimate, but I don't know that it's all that accurate. It's about 25,000 for New Mexico Gas Company.
Okay. And will people's bills accrue fees and interest until the moratorium, or is it just what they used?
The late fees are held off as well under the PRC's order, so no.
Okay. So I want to clarify that I'm also a ratepayer that had a huge spike in my electric bill starting in November. My bills tripled with no apparent change in usage. And when I asked for clarification from PNM, they said they're still looking into that. Also, I'm a recipient of LIHEAP, which is for low-income households. And since I got assistance in October, it makes me ineligible to get assistance for my bills now. And I'm sure many other New Mexicans are facing similar challenges. And so far, my only solution has been to cancel automatic payments and not pay my bill until I understand what's happening. But other people, especially elders, people who don't speak English as a first language, or undocumented people might not feel comfortable asking for government assistance or to just stop paying their bill. Representative Ortiz, what populations are disproportionately affected by these largely unexplained rate hikes, especially with PNM?
Thank you for that question, Yasmin. I mean, I think Mariel really hit it on the head, you know, customers, people of color all across the state, the most vulnerable are elderly who are on fixed incomes. I mean, these are the folks that are experiencing the greatest hardship. Our essential workers, you know, who have been bagging groceries, you know, and you know, providing services for folks. These are the people all across the state who are, you know, who are really suffering and who, you know, need help. I heard something interesting the other day from some folks at PNM and from some folks at Help New Mexico, which is that we do have support. There's money out there from the CARES Act, but so many people, something like 30% of folks who could qualify for these services aren't tapping into this funding that's available. And I think that's the one of the, you know, real tragedies here is that folks don't know about it. And that's something that we all have to do, really spend some time and energy making sure we get the message out that help is, you know, help is here. Hopefully more help is on the way. Hopefully more help will come, you know, to stave off this crisis in the future. But right now there is help, right? So I'm going to give you a website. It's www.helpnm.com. This organization is all around services, all kinds of different counties, mostly in the north. But I imagine if you check that out, call them, you know, they can help you if you're in the southern part of the state. But they'll help you figure out if you qualify for these programs, which are significant. You can get help right now if you know how to get it. And I think that's the problem here because of our lack of broadband infrastructure all around, you know, the state, you don't know how to get in, you know, into these websites and how to help yourself. Mm. So there is help out there. I think that it's not quite enough, and that's why we have this bill. But I just want to also give a shout out to Tom and John from the PRC, you know, who the PRC has done a lot of work here, but the PRC can't deal with debt forgiveness. And that is what this bill 206 is about. That's one of the big things that this bill does.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, so I do want to, before I introduce John from the PRC, I do want to ask one more question to you, Representative Ortiz. So for example, when I asked PNM about programs to help lower income people pay their utility bills, they mentioned the Good Neighbor Fund, which asks ratepayers to donate extra money to help other ratepayers who can't cover their bills. But this seems like a stopgap solution that just puts the burden back onto New Mexican ratepayers with relatively no impacts to PNM. And again, I want to say that we invited PNM to talk about this, but they canceled their appearance. Representative Ortiz, one critique I've heard of House Bill 206 is that the government helping pay people's utility bills just kind of gets the utilities what they want, but doesn't necessarily alleviate the burden on the state because some of that money does come from taxpayer funds. Would government funding to help pay utility bills come from tax dollars? And would it be basically similar to asking ratepayers to pitch into each other's bills?
Well, you know, yes and no. That's a very good question. You know, what we're asking the utilities to do is to tap into the funds that are coming through the CARES Act. Are CARES Act dollars from taxpayers? Yes, sure.
we all pay taxes to the federal government, and you know those taxes fund all kinds of programs, including you know some of this relief that we're seeing with the CARES Act. You know, so what we're saying is use the federal funds first, and then at the last resort, you know, share the you know let ratepayers share the burden. Co-ops are in a different situation. Probably most of your listeners are serviced by PNM, but you may have folks in outlying areas that have a co-op providing their electricity service. And for co-ops, what this bill says is, you know, they're a co-op pay a fee to the PRC every year. And what we're saying with co-ops is, half of your fee that you would normally pay to the PRC can be used to tackle that debt. And I want to be clear here. What we're saying is give low-income folks, people who are, you know, experiencing hardship, an opportunity to pay their debt back with dignity. If you pay a dollar in your debt, you get half forgiven. But they're really stringent qualifications for that. Not everybody can get into this program, right? But we're also saying, go find the programs that exist already and help that debt go down, mm-hmm. so that we can really reduce the burden on everyone. But this is extraordinary. Folks need help right now.
Yeah,
right. And we know that electricity is an essential service. I have my children at home. I think my electricity bills have gone up because they're at home, you know, using everything, leaving all the lights on. You know, we're working on that at our home right now. But you can't operate in society without electricity.
Right.
Period.
Well, I mean, some people's bills have gone up 800%. According to some, I understand some bills could go up, but again, we don't have PNM on the line, but some of the bills have gone up. How many Christmas lights can you have really to make your bill go up $400? And I just want to throw out that we want to hear from you. I know there are quite a few people in New Mexico that have questions about their gas and electric bills. Are you worried about how you'll pay your bills? Or if your utilities will be shut off this winter or in the summer? And do you need advice on how to report your high bills? You can join the conversation by calling in at 277-5866. And I do want to introduce John Reynolds from the PRC. He is the Utility Division Director of the New Mexico Public Regulation Commission. Welcome, John.
Good morning, Yasmin, everyone. Thanks for having me on the show.
Good morning. John, can you first start out by explaining to us what the PRC does and how does it actually regulate these utilities?
Sure. I mean, the PRC is similar commissions in all the other states, regulates monopoly utilities. And we are, in short, a proxy for competition. And our framework is to examine utility requests to charge certain rates. And we approve every rate that is charged to customers has to be approved and filed with the commission before a utility can charge those rates. And so essentially, we balance the interests of consumers with those of utility shareholders so that safe and reliable service is provided at reasonable rates, but at the same time that shareholders have an opportunity to earn a reasonable return on their investment in utilities. So our oversight is over shareholder investor-owned utilities, and we try to balance the interests of the investors and the consumers.
Thank you, John. We do have to go to a quick break, but we're going to circle back to a couple callers and to learning a little bit more about the PRC. If you want to join the conversation about utility bills in New Mexico, give us a call at 277-5866. You can also tweet to us with the hashtag #LetsTalkNM. This is Let's Talk New Mexico. We'll be back in a minute.
The Supreme Court ruling in Oliphant versus Suquamish Indian Tribe stripped tribes of most criminal prosecutions against non-Indians. On the next Native America Calling, we'll take a look at the more than 40 years since the landmark decision and the ways it's hindered tribal law enforcement. We hope you can join us.
Weekday mornings at 11 on KUNM.
It's spring cleaning time, the perfect time to clear that old car out of your garage or that old truck out of your driveway. Maybe you've been meaning to get rid of it but haven't gotten around to it. KUNM makes it easy to donate. One phone call and voila, everything's taken care of. We come and tow it away. You get a tax deduction, a KUNM membership, and it helps us pay for the programs you love. So don't put it off anymore. Call 888-KUNM-CAR. That's 888-586-6227.
Welcome back to Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm Yasmin Khan. We've heard this hour some explanations, challenges, and potential solutions for rising utility costs in New Mexico. Have you tried to get help for your bills? Did it work or not? Give us a call, 277-5866. We have a couple callers, but right before that, I want to ask John. John, has the PRC been getting calls about high utility bills?
We have been getting some calls about high utility bills, and we do have a department or division within the PRC called the Consumer Relations Division, which is there for that specific purpose, for people to raise concerns about their bills. And I can provide those phone numbers at some time, but I would encourage people, based on what I've heard so far in the show, that if they do have a bill that went up 400% or 800%, I mean, we're there to help, and the Consumer Relations Division is very experienced at this. They're very seasoned. They have contacts at the utilities to try to help explain the bills, make sure the rates that are charged were approved by the commission, and and if there is an issue, then that issue can be elevated for the commission to consider. But in large part, most of those issues can be resolved informally to make sure that the bills are correct.
Okay. Thanks, John. We do have a caller, Ken from Albuquerque. Ken, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to call in. I've got my PNM bills in front of me just as data points. I know we're not really seeing a spike on ours, but a little different. We're in Northwest Albuquerque, just a couple of minutes up the hill from Cibola High School and the Northwest Transit Center. I'm looking online at our March 3rd bill that'll be coming, and it's like $67.87. And then our February 4th was, which I think was not really including January yet, but was $139. So it's probably that holiday time. And then January 6th was like $61, $50. So we're not seeing a real spike in ours, but I just wanted to kind of offer that. We're also on evaporative cooling, not on refrigerated air.
So solar, I have heard from some people who use solar who said they've seen that they sometimes get no bills because they're producing energy. So are you saying that those bills that you have are normal for you?
They're relatively normal. It's been frustrating kind of with PNM understanding the whole way that the solar kind of works for us, because we'll see some like in our September 1st bill, which was July-August, was $138. And then, you know, we go down in other months that were warmer, like the month before that, of $55. We don't have no bills with what was put in our solar panels 5 years ago or 6 years ago when we had them put on. We did have some where we had just a $7 minimum, but not many of those. So generally speaking, we're getting some bill of $40 to $50, and then it'll go up to about $140, it looks like.
Okay. Mario, did you want to respond to this comment?
I have solar, and we have been having, we're very lucky to have solar. And I just want to put a plug in for community solar, which is pending in the legislature right now as well, and hopefully heading to the floor this morning, so that we can relieve some of these bills, these electric bills, through community action, which is, you know, investing in community solar, where different individuals or families can, and or businesses can buy in as a subscriber, to a community solar facility. And it's a way to hedge rising electricity rates. So I think, and I believe that all the utilities in New Mexico were touting the benefits of solar during the February crisis, because solar was one of the most stable energy resources, actually. In the land of the sun, unfortunately, PNM only has about 4% solar in its portfolio. And so we want to expand solar to help low-income folks all over our state. But if I could say one other thing about something very different about a real solution, I believe, that community solar is a real solution. But another real solution is we need quick relief in the form of a canceled utility debt and a moratorium on utility shutoffs, no question. But we also need to fight for a vision of utility justice that repairs past harms and fulfills basic human rights, which is why I believe that we need a publicly owned utility system. In many states, there is something called community choice aggregation. Here we have another bill, SB 83, that's pending before the right now. It passed the Conservation Committee. It's pending before tax business and tax revenue and transportation. And I believe will be heard on Saturday morning or next Tuesday. And that would allow utilities to municipalities or tribes to become utilities and nonprofit utilities that they would then serve their customers reliably at lower cost and wouldn't do things like price gouge in the middle of storms, but would actually provide safe, reliable service to their customers. So that's right. Something else that we're supporting.
Thank you, Mariel. Yeah, I do want to read this comment that relates from Rafael. And Rafael says, ironically, unemployment benefits are preventing me from qualifying for low-income weatherization programs by putting me just above the income level, yet just below the ability to purchase insulation, home improvements, solar power, etc. Going green for the well-off is clever, comfy, and techie, while for the low-income, it's just turning down the thermostat and putting on a sweater. I simply cannot afford much-needed Energy Star-compliant new refrigerators, hot water tank, furnace, windows, and doors, etc. Everybody knows the poor pay more. And I know, Representative Ortiz, we talked about this the other day. Can you comment on how these... It is ironic that if you get an unemployment benefits, it puts you just above the threshold to get into these low-income programs.
I really feel for Rafael and so many New Mexicans. This is exactly the problem. You know, if you're poor, you pay more for your rent, you pay more for your utilities, you got higher credit card interest rates, all of that, which it's like a boulder on your shoulders over and over again, and you cannot get ahead. So, you know, there's some legislation that just passed the House yesterday that would allow low-income folks to get some double credits for tax credits for making some investments in their homes, like better windows, better doors, heat pumps, insulation, things like that. But those are really expensive for folks, and low-income folks and even middle-income folks don't have the access to the capital that would allow them to make their homes cozy and safe and energy efficient. And so that's why I think this legislation 206 is so important, because it tackles the here and now of the debt, but it also allows local governments, tribal entities to tap into funds at the federal level to make these investments in energy efficiency for manufactured homes. You know, that's really, really important.
Tom, are there any programs with New Mexico Gas that help people make their houses more efficient?
Oh yeah. We have an energy efficiency program, and it's a very active energy efficiency program. But I think what would be best would be for our listeners would be to let Nicole, who's on the phone, give some numbers that they can contact at New Mexico Gas Company so that we can help work with them on their gas bills. I mean, I don't think I've heard anybody say that their gas bills have been going up dramatically over the last month or so, but they haven't. But I'd like to have Nicole speak a little bit about some of the numbers and the ways we can help people with their gas bills.
Mm-hmm. I have heard that there is some rising gas bills that might be on the way. that they haven't happened now, but right. but that there is, might happen in related to the February ice storms. But Nicole, go ahead. Thank you, Nicole. If you want to give some numbers, and then I'm going to go to John, and then I'm going to take a couple callers.
Sure. I wanted to talk a little bit about our Heat New Mexico program. New Mexico Gas Company, we did actually broaden some of our income guidelines for the Heat New Mexico program. So the LIHEAP program, if customers have applied for LIHEAP and they did not qualify for that assistance, there's a good chance that they may qualify for our Heat New Mexico program. So the Heat New Mexico program is administered through the Salvation Army, and it does help income qualified families with payment assistance towards their natural gas bill. So we encourage customers to call the Salvation Army at 505-872-1171 for more information for their area. So we're hoping that by broadening those guidelines, we can assist more customers that are in need.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Nicole. And I will have all of those resources on our KUNM web post at KUNM.org. John, you did mention you had a comment on this, the last questions we talked about. What did you want to add?
Yeah, thank you, Yasmin. I've done a lot of work at the PRC over my time there on energy efficiency, and I'd just like to raise the profile of that issue. New Mexico Gas is very active in that, and so are all the other investor-owned utilities. It's a requirement. There's a statute, the Efficient Use of Energy Act, that requires the utilities to spend a certain amount of money on cost-effective energy efficiency programs and measures. Mm-hmm. And every 3 years, each of the investor-owned utilities are required to file a plan to help people reduce their bills by supporting energy efficiency measures. It could be simple things like insulations, faucet aerators. So there, you know, I would encourage people to dig into that. Check the utility websites, and I'm not picking or favoring any utility, but any of the six investor-owned utilities, three electrics, three gas utilities, whichever one serves you, please do check. And I would like to, with respect to spiking bills, you know, the numbers at the PRC, which I'd like a chance to mention, is that we're running short on time, is 670-4837 and 660-4832, both 505 numbers. That's mm-hmm. our consumer relations divisions. Please call them.
Okay.
It's very important for them to know about your bills, because that's how we can sift through all of this. What, you know, if we see a spike in calls about bills, that issue will be raised before the commission.
Thank
you. And it will be addressed.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
I do want to welcome State Senator Bill Tallman to the show. Senator Tallman is a sponsor of Senate Bill 155. Senator, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Good morning. Thank you for inviting me.
So I know you said that the Senate Bill 155 was tabled this legislative session, but can you tell us what it is and how it relates to what is happening, what we're seeing now with a spike in energy bills or helping ratepayers in the long run?
Well, it doesn't directly relate to what's happening now. However, the thrust of the bill was to try to restore a balance between the utility and the ratepayers, which is what the PRC's main job is. And we had I voted for the ETA in 2019 because of the renewable portfolio standards that it established. And
sorry, the ETA is the Energy Transition Act.
Transition Act, right. So we, but we had a lot of pressure to vote for that.
And can you explain briefly what that is?
What, the
the ETA.
The Renewable Portfolio Standards?
The ETA, yes.
Well, it did two things. It basically, it established portfolio standards, which called for 100% renewables, the use of renewables to create energy, by 100% by 2045. And it also called for secularization, which is a method whereby you get a lower the utility gets a lower interest rate because the bonds are backed up by the rate payers. But we didn't fully realize a couple of things in the bill. One, that the bill was 82 pages long, and it was kind of hidden in the bill. There was language that forbid the PRC from disallowing PNM from recovering what it claims as any cost that was in the PM's rate base. And the second thing that we didn't realize was that tucked away into the bill was that it effectively removed PRC authority to oversee the amount of compensation that PNM would receive when it closes old plants. Now, that's part of the PRC's job, is to determine whether it was a prudent decision. So if it's a prudent decision, then PRC is entitled, or the utilities are entitled to a full recovery.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, you could make a good argument that it wasn't a prudent decision, and so they shouldn't receive a full recovery of their costs. And so we objected to that. They're removing their authority, because when they did that, then the PRC or the utility was entitled to full recovery.
Okay.
So it was the only securitization bill in the country that removed PRC authority from oversight determining whether or not the utility is going to receive full compensation.
Okay.
Full recovery costs. So you can make a good argument they didn't deserve that. So that was troubling.
All right. Let me just throw that back to John. John, can utilities pass the costs of failed projects or closing plants, such as the Four Corners coal plant, onto ratepayers?
The commission can, but that doesn't mean that the commission will. These issues are examined very closely by the commission. But there is a case currently before the commission about abandoning the Four Corners plant. And it is, I think, as many of the others on the show know, I mean, because it's an open case, we are extremely cautious about addressing the issues openly in this form. I mean, it's an open case. And the utility division where I work will be examining this in some detail and providing our analysis to the commission. It'll be Mariel will as well, and so will many others. And there will be likely be hearings, and it will be delved in very deep detail. So that's about as much as I can say on it.
Yeah.
It does have a lot of leeway.
There is so much more to talk to about all of this, about the Energy Transition Act, Senate Bill 155, and the new iteration. But as always, time has flown by. I want to remind listeners that all the numbers that we heard on the show are going to be online at KUNM.org. And that, unfortunately, is all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our guests, Tom Dome, Nicole Valdivia, State Representative Cristina Ortez, Mariel Nanansi, John Reynolds, and State Senator Bill Tallman. And thank you to everyone who called in or sent comments. If you missed part of today's show or want to share it with friends, find the show page on KUNM.org or subscribe to our podcast. Just search Let's Talk New Mexico on your podcast app. Thank you, as always, to our engineer, Marino Spencer. Taylor Velasquez screen your calls, and Ty Bannerman is our executive producer. I'm Yasmin Khan. This is Let's Talk New Mexico on KUNM.